All right. Welcome to New Life Church's Equipping Podcast. This is Ryan Bondi here with
Jack Diven, back again.
This is an exciting time, Jack. We made it for podcast number two.
Episode two. Feels good.
And this time you're here and you're wearing your evangelism director hat. I need you to put that on right now.
It is on.
It is on.
I was going to say it's always on, but it's not. But it kind of is.
Isn't it?
Because if you think about it, it should always be on, but it's really snug.
Yes,
right now.
Good. That's really good to hear, Jack. You know, today we're going to be talking about gospel appointments.
That is exciting. I have heard about gospel appointments for a long time.
Yes.
But for some people listening to this, they might be relatively familiar with them as well. But for others of our listeners, they might not be. And so, Ryan, why don't you start us off? What do you mean by gospel appointment?
Yeah, good question. A gospel appointment is just a set-aside time to share the gospel thoroughly with someone and hear and invite their responses.
That's so simple.
That's all it is, Jack.
There's nothing more to it than that?
That is how I'm going to define gospel appointment for you.
Yeah. No, I agree. It is that simple.
Okay.
So why does it have that name? Why not just call it sharing the gospel?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing, like gospel appointment, not in the Bible, in most translations.
Right.
Maybe the New Life Translation.
Sure.
But certainly not the other NLT.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I think the gospel appointment exists for a number of reasons, but we call it that just because it can be really beneficial to set aside a time to actually have a conversation with someone where you're going to get a chance to talk through and share the gospel with them. You know, in the past, I've, you know, learned how to share the gospel in a minute, share the gospel in 2 minutes, share the gospel in 3 minutes. Like, I think I've learned like 1, 2, 3, and 5 minute gospel share version, yeah. Just so you could throw it into a conversation, like, you know, in passing or something.
In line at the grocery store, at the checkout or something.
Yeah, exactly. Never 4 minutes.
Right.
I don't think there are any social circumstances in which you only have 4 minutes to interact.
1, 2, 3, and 5.
Yes. But, you know, I find that that sometimes, you know, that's certainly useful in those instances to be able to do that. But other times it can be really beneficial to have a just set aside period of time. I've had great gospel appointments that have lasted an hour up to 3 hours, just talking about real deep things. And sometimes you can't just have those casually. And if you're getting in a good conversation with someone, or you're just scratching the surface of a spiritual conversation, and you don't know if you're going to be able to continue having it, it's easy to secure that conversation for another time.
Yeah.
Hey, I know we both have to go somewhere in 10 minutes or something, but I'd love to talk with you more about this sometime. Would you want to like grab coffee sometime and talk about like what we believe in?
Yeah. That's one thing that I particularly like about gospel appointments versus just saying, why don't we just call it sharing the gospel, is that there is a shared expectation between kind of all parties involved. There's just like, yeah, I know in some sense what I'm getting into as I have this conversation. I'm not going to have something sprung on me,
sure,
which is a real, you know, thing that people could feel without sort of some of the clarity and structure that inviting someone to a conversation intentionally brings.
There you go. That's a great point. Yeah, that preparedness for both parties. It's really good. And so all this is predicated on a desire to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So just basically, Jack, so basic. But why do we want to share the gospel?
Right. That is a good question. And it's not one that I think we should just take for granted and blindly, like, follow just because people say we should.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot in small groups at times of people who understand on some level we're supposed to do this, you know, and
right.
It becomes like, oh, I'm not doing this enough. Like, I should be doing this more because I'm supposed to, Jack. Like, I know I'm supposed to do this, but why?
Well, quick, short answer is that Jesus came into the world with a message, with the gospel, and then we even have this verse written on the back wall of our church. It's mentioned often by people that speak from the stage, but he said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you into the world. And so elsewhere in scripture, we see that sentiment that we are called to be what there's a number of different words for it. Christ's ambassadors, ministers of reconciliation, to obey Jesus's great commission in Matthew 28. Oh gosh, I almost said a different chapter right
you
there.
You didn't though.
Another spot is Luke 4, where Jesus says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Like Jesus was sent to go not just to one place or bring the good news to like one set of people, but for it to spread from there.
Yeah.
It's part of obeying Jesus as Lord and choosing to say this isn't just for me, but because I have realized the impact it's had on my life, I participate in bringing that message to other people and sharing the gospel. Yeah.
Yeah. When you've been moved and impacted by it, even yourself, there's this desire to share with other people. This past weekend, a fall retreat after Gens gave a great talk on God's love. One of the key takeaways I heard a student share wasn't even like something from Gens's talk explicitly, but it was rather he was like, man, this is so good. There's like more room in this room. Like we need to get more people in that space. They just felt compelled by God's love for them, by like community that God provides. The gospel was moving and they were like, this is so good. There are other people who need to hear this good news.
And that's the definition of a definition of evangelism right there. It's just someone who excitedly brings good news of something to a group of people. You know, you can talk about how you're like a Whole Foods evangelist or something.
Sure.
Like that's just a boiled down version of what evangelism is. So I was struck by that too over the weekend. And there is more space at Foholo. There's a lot more chairs.
Yeah.
That could be there.
Sounds good.
So then why, Ryan, do let me back up. We have a practice as a community, as a church, to try to have a gospel appointment specifically with every newcomer to our church each year. The cycle repeats.
Yes.
And we enter a season of sitting down in coffee shops and dorm rooms and dorm lounges or outside if it's nice and having gospel appointments. Why do we do that then?
Yeah. There are a number of reasons for that. And the most basic, reason, like you said, it's the same reasons why we want to share the gospel with someone. We want them to hear the good news. Sometimes groups, you can experience people who've been churched before or just are in any point on their spiritual journey. And so knowing where people are at in their faith and in their, walk with Jesus is really helpful as a leader. I found that leading someone who is a believer versus leading someone who is not a believer is very significant. Like that difference is very significant.
Absolutely.
For example, if someone is a believer, I'm part of my like role as their brother is to call them to like obey God, right? Call them to hold to that commitment that they've made to follow Jesus. But if I just presume that someone has made that decision because maybe they know how to talk the talk, or maybe they're familiar with, Bible stories or something like that, or they seem really engaged and like they know a lot. And I presume that, but they haven't actually made that decision. It would be inappropriate for me to hold them to a standard that they haven't expressed they want to be held to. And that's where, if they haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, I want to help lead them to that point. I don't want to lead them past that point. It doesn't make too much sense to do so.
So it sounds like what you're saying is it helps provide you a little bit of clarity as someone who's in a role of leadership. How do I effectively care for and lead this person, whether they've called Jesus their Lord or not? And on top of that, it's helping provide clarity for that person themselves.
Absolutely.
Helping them discern, like, and even just like put words to where am I?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rational, self-analysis in a sense of looking and seeing and understanding, where they are. And I've heard it before that people have shared, oh man, I don't think I've ever put this into words like this, but yeah, I guess I haven't made that decision. Yeah. And then it was like, okay, good to know. Hey,
good to know.
No pressure. Like, don't feel bad. Like, I had that conversation once with someone where they were kind of like, oh man, I guess it's kind of weird being in a group of people where, you know, I'm not, you know, Jesus right. isn't my Lord. I'm like, right. that's okay. This is a great group for that. And we can like intentionally talk about what would it look like to make that decision. And that's kind of what evangelism looks like in that context with that person.
And how much better that they now know mm-hmm. with clarity that that's where they're at and they get to choose and mm-hmm. have it be genuine when
yeah.
or if hopefully when that yeah. time comes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And year after year, I come up with this temptation, other people experience it too, which is like, man, yeah, this person, oh, they're from the West Side. They're like, they know like all of the
West Side.
Yeah. They Northwest Lower Michigan, Jack.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. You know, they know so much and it just seems like they get it. It's tempting to say like, oh, I don't want to sit down and have a gospel appointment with them, mm-hmm. Talk through the gospel with them, because maybe it's going to come off as like, you know, like I'm just checking if they are or something like that. It can be super valuable to do so. True confession time. I was asked my sophomore year to apprentice to lead a Bible study. This was a New Life small group, but mm-hmm. this was a Bible study. And I started apprenticing like to lead this small group. I knew like a decent amount about the Bible, but I did not like Jesus was not the Lord of my life at that point. And so I look back on that and kind of laugh about how like I was we had this like weird thing where like an unbeliever was like getting like trained in how to lead like a Bible study. Like yeah. how hilarious is that?
Yeah. I will share a bit of my own story. I don't know if yeah. I can call it a confession, but I just think where would I be if not for someone taking, you know, you could call it a risk. Maybe it didn't feel like that to him, but the risk of inviting the freshman West Michigan kid mm-hmm. to hear the gospel
yeah.
Clearly, even mm-hmm. though he went to my home church. It was my freshman year, my small group leader. I knew him from high school.
Mm.
And we still had a time on, I think, like a Saturday afternoon in his apartment in Northwood. And he shared like the full, we had a gospel appointment and it changed kind of the course of my life.
Hmm.
It was huge for me.
Yeah.
And could he have just assumed, oh, no, Jack knows what's up. I mean, he comes to a small group. He's clearly like following God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he could have. That's mm-hmm. the point. And mm-hmm. he chose to still sit down with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful for it still.
There we go. It's really good. Really good. You know, I also find that that these, you know, gospel appointments, they, you know, another benefit of having them with every newcomer is I feel like it really builds a lot of trust and a lot of depth in relationship with that person in group when you can talk about someone's story like really deeply and listen and ask good questions. Yeah, it builds a lot of relational capital. And I feel like a lot of that authenticity can also, that can bring a lot of authenticity to your small group. And so when you're getting that with people, you can have even just more in-depth and real small group times after that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just real talk. It's beyond yeah. the shallowness of kind of the day-to-day, just like small talk into mm-hmm. like real things. The number of times someone has said, wow, I've never thought about that before. I've yeah. never been asked that before.
Yeah.
I want to be there with people for those moments as they think about that for the first time.
Yeah.
And it does just build relationship and trust. So I totally get that.
Yeah. And I've seen this happen before where, you know, where I or where small group leaders can kind of feel like, for whatever reason, a gospel appointment can feel, you know, unnatural or feel like checking off a box. Sometimes in the grind of the school year, it can sure. feel like, here's just another thing I have to do. You sure. know, I have to sit down. I have to, like, say the gospel in a certain way, you know, to these people and, like, see where they're at. And you can lose a lot of vision behind that why.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage anyone listening, if you're in that spot, if you're feeling kind of burdened by this opportunity, like pursue finding a solution with that. Talk to your small group coach, express, hey, I'm low on vision for this. I'm having a hard time feeling motivated about this. Can we talk about this? Can you help me reframe this? Yeah. This again, here are the reasons why we do this. It's not like we just need to do it because I don't know, our evangelism director says we have to do it, Jack. It's right. There's good reasons behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even made the mistake as a leader of forgetting to express the why and the vision to my student leaders. Kind of just like you said, year after year, it's the same thing. You know, so for me, I'm like, oh, all right, we're on it again. Like, time to go. And then I forget, you know, to re-envision people. And it kind of feels like, oh, you know, here's this thing that my leader's asking me to do.
Yeah.
So just invite those conversations if you're in that spot.
Yeah, invite it from a leader in your life or from your peers and friends, and invite it from the Lord.
Yeah.
I would say go to God with that. Ask him, like, is this something you're calling me to do, to engage in this season, is to have these intentional set-aside conversations to talk about the gospel. So I think that's really important. And that's okay if that's where people are at.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I think this podcast right here will help people towards that end of vision.
Yeah.
And specifically because we actually haven't talked about like how to do it much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So to people that might be wondering that, I think I would say my hope is not that you would learn it on a podcast just by listening. My hope is that you would learn that with someone who has walked alongside it when they were learning from someone. So I would just tell you to ask someone in your life who you know has done this before, has had a gospel appointment. If you're thinking, I would love to learn more about how to do it or just get better at it, one, you could just start having them. But I would say find someone and do it with them.
There you go. And I generally find that whenever anyone takes a step to learn how to share the gospel, God just brings an opportunity, like in the near future.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
Yeah. There's one more thing I'll add regarding that. It's just that I think you said something earlier about like, oh, I have to share this a certain way or use a certain fancy diagram.
Yeah.
Which you don't. There's a lot of tools available to share the gospel. But what I would say is that biblically, scripturally, if you are a believer, if you've chosen to call Jesus your Lord and God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to share the gospel with somebody. All you have to do is understand what has occurred in your life.
Yeah.
And you can tell someone that story and you can share the gospel with them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's not everyone listening, but hopefully like that's a lot of people, like we are equipped to share the gospel specifically with gospel appointments in this way.
Yeah. Telling people about who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he's impacting your life.
That's it right there.
It's good stuff. So we talked about today, you know, the gospel appointment, these two different aspects. One is just setting aside a time to pursue having that conversation, have an intentional conversation where you get to hear responses and help people make a decision, you know, if they haven't made that decision yet. And that's, you know, that's for anyone. That's just like a pro tip of like having a good opportunity to share the gospel with someone, pursue that. And then we also talked a little bit about for leaders too, this practice of sharing the gospel with any newcomer, having a gospel appointment with them and some tips and tricks about that. Next week, we're going to talk about a little bit more about, specifically sharing the gospel itself.
Cool.
Yeah, sounds good.
Can't wait.
We'll see you then.